الفرج الكريم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله.
In the name of God, the merciful, the compassionate. Salutations of God to Prophet Muhammad, blessings of Allah be upon him and his progeny. I'm very glad and I thank God Almighty for granting me the opportunity to once again travel to this proud province and be present among you loyal people. There has been a hostile policy since the outset of the Islamic revolutions that sought to create discord among Iranian ethnic groups. This policy tried to use different pretexts in order to sow discord among the people of Iran, trying to target the Fars, the Kurd, the Arab, the Baluch, the Turkmen, the Lors, and any one of these diverse ethnic groups in Iran. This policy sought to inculcate a satanic view in order to cause antagonism among the ethnic groups. They told the Tehranis or the Isfahanis, they said something to the Baluchis. I have been spending some time among them before the revolution. They said something there. They said something else in Kurdistan. There was the need for a great deal of vigilance so that the Iranian people be able to accomplish its mission in order to hoist the flag of Islam and perform its mission, and that was carrying the flag of Islam. The people of Iran have carried out great deal of efforts, and you, the people of Kurdistan, have fulfilled your share and your duty. This is one of the issues that's going to be registered in the history of Iran. They tried to sow discord among the Iranian people. They tried to separate the Kurds from the people in Fars province and create a rift among them, but they failed to do so. Their deceptive measures were nullified. Brothers and the Kurdish brothers and sisters, you should know that any young man who came here and stayed here for some time, he had some emotions towards the people of Kurdistan. He had emotional feelings. The courageous young men who came here from Khorasan, Isfahan, Fars, Tehran, and other provinces of the country who came to the province of Kurdistan and stayed in Sanandaj, Sakhuz, Marivan and other cities of this province. Upon their return, they conveyed the message of affection and kindness. They had a feeling of solidarity towards the people of Kurdistan. This is the reflection of the kind attitude of the Kurdish people, and we consider this province as a cultural province. Still, I can refer to young men who came here from different places, and they had actually dedicated themselves. And people can remember the Martyr Sayyad, Motevasselian, Nasser Kazemi, Ahmad Kazemi, Martyr Borujerdi. These young men who spent their lifetime here and dedicated their lives, and the people of Kurdistan know them very well. We thank God Almighty that the enemy was not able to achieve its objectives. I should also tell you that the enemy will never stop its activities, and there has been a hostile policy ruling the country since the time of Pahlavi regime, and that was the policy of alienating different ethnic groups, to alienate the Kurds, the Baluch, the Turks, the Arabs and Turkmens were alienated. They were considered as aliens and foreigners. And of course, this was quite evident in their deeds and actions during the Pahlavi regime. There has been no construction work or cultural activities carried out here. There were no such activities. They did not pay attention to this province. The construction, there were no construction projects in this province at the time of Pahlavi regime. The same was true about cultural activities. There are more than 40,000 students in this province today that are studying in over 20 universities and academic centers. This figure was only 360 students at the time of Pahlavi regime. There were only 360 students throughout the province. And today, there are close to 50,000 students in this province. The literacy rate, speaking of literacy rate, there were so many people who were illiterate. Only 29% of the people in this province were literate at the time of Pahlavi regime. The Pahlavi regime did not want the Kurdish people. The Pahlavi regime did not want the Kurdish people, this talented people and this smart people, to become literate. Only 29% of people could read and write in this province. So the Pahlavi regime did nothing with respect to the construction projects and cultural activities in this province. In fact, they had a hostile approach and a satanic approach. The Islamic system did correct this approach, not just at the level of officials, but also among all the strata of the people. This is something that you should all know, that the Islamic system considers the diverse considers as an opportunity the diversity of ethnic groups in this country, the different traditions, different costumes, different talents and diverse talents are considered as an opportunity for our nation in order to be able to actually complete one another, act in a complementary manner through proper interaction, through coexistence and unity. And this is a source of pride for our nation to actually have such an approach towards the issue of diversity of ethnic groups. The reason is that Islam is a source of aspiration for this system. And in such an Islamic, and based on such an Islamic approach, speaking of different cultures and linguistic features, we consider no difference with other nations, let alone a single nation with different ethnic groups. This is the Islamic approach, and this is the approach adopted by the Islamic system. Therefore, in connection with the province of Kurdistan and other ethnic areas, we have adopted an Islamic approach which emphasizes brotherhood, fraternity, unity, and cordiality. Anyone who opposes such an approach and adopts a different approach, he has acted in contrast with the policy of the Islamic system. Everyone has realized this reality that the Islamic system considers the people in this province, the province of Kurdistan, as its own people, and the loyalists to the revolution acting as the soldiers for this revolution. There were agents of foreigners who made the speeches on behalf of the Kurdish people, and the Kurdish people were unaware of it. The day when the satanic hands of the foes were thinking about causing sedition in this province and surrounding areas, the people of this province stood together in a steadfast manner and also the Kurdish, we have to commemorate those Kurdish courageous men who fought for the cause of the Islamic system. And 5,400, this province has dedicated 5,400 martyrs, and we salute the souls of the martyrs, and we greet the families of the martyrs, and we pray to God Almighty the vigilance of the Muslim people and the officials of the country who are always prepared to serve the people have foiled the plots of the enemies aimed at targeting this province. But we should not think that the enemy has stopped continuing its ominous goals. In fact, we should keep up our vigilance. You should know that the enemies of the Islamic Iran do not want Iran to be integrated, and they do not want the Islam to rule this country. Those arrogant powers that have managed to dominate many world countries politically, till today they have not been able to force the Islamic system to give in to their demands and policies due to the courage of this nation, and they are angry for this. They change their methodologies, but the objectives are the same malicious objectives that they have been pursuing. The young people, the families, the officials must be vigilant. We defend our nation, we defend our integrity, we defend Islam with all our might. And we have been able to resist the hollow thunderbolt of the enemies and the global arrogance, and we will never give in to pressures of the global arrogance. There's another general point I wish to mention on this occasion. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, Islam, in order to create a dynamic and proud society, has delineated certain features and has also depicted the path for attaining this objective in the course of history. One of these features is national dignity. Dignity. A person, every person, does not want to be humiliated. The same is true about a nation. A nation has wishes and ideals. One of the ideals is to not to be humiliated. What is the meaning of national dignity? National dignity. National dignity means that a nation would not have the feeling of humiliation. We have feeling of humiliation in contrast with the feeling of dignity and being dignified. When a nation takes a look back at its history, resources, historical legacies, and its humanitarian existence and intellect, as if we must have the feeling of dignity, must have the feeling of pride, and not have the feeling of humiliation. This is something required for every nation. The Holy Quran has mentioned this concept on several occasions.
Medina, la yukhrijanna la'azzu minha al-adhal, wa lillahi al-izzatu wa li rasulihi wa lil mu'minin, walakinna al-munafiqina la ya'lamun.
The hypocrites were talking to each other that we are the dear ones, and the Muslims that they said that they're gonna make Muslims leave Medina. God Almighty revealed to the Prophet that they are making this claim, but they cannot understand. But Muslims are the ones who are dear to God, and the dignity belongs to God and belongs to the Prophet of God and to those who have faith in God. This is a brilliant manifestation that must be put before the eyes of the faithful Muslims. That is national dignity. If a nation doesn't have the feeling of dignity, that means considering its assets with humiliation, and also consider its literature, language, legacy, history, prominent figures and scholars have a humiliating approach towards them and underestimate them. And if a nation has a feeling it has nothing belonging to itself, it has no belonging, such a nation can easily fall under the domination of the foreigners, the colonialists, since the 16th and 17th centuries, that entered the lands of the East, including Islamic lands, in order to dominate these nations and make these nations captives. They started making those nations, tried to make those nations skeptical towards their costumes, traditions, and cultures. Those who had just forgotten the religion. This was a slogan chanted by those people who had forgotten the religion. When a country loses everything it has and became hollow from within, the British colonialism can easily dominate it and dominate its oil, army, and assets, its political system. And at the time of the Pahlavi regime, the defunct Shah, in order to appoint an individual as the Prime Minister, he had to consult with the British ambassador and later with the American ambassador, and actually get permission from the British or the American ambassadors. This is the painful history of our past. This is in contrast with national dignity. The dependent, corrupt, and dictatorial regimes had brought down the people of Iran from its dignified status and did not contribute to the country's science and knowledge, and destroyed both the people's life in this world and their afterlife and the hereafter. And at such a juncture, we witnessed an uprising by the Islamic Revolution, and in fact the revolution and the late Imam resisted such a catastrophe, and the people of Iran dedicated their blood in order to attain victory. When such a morale exists among the nation, the political apparatus of that country, that the political apparatus, when there's such a morale, the political and an approach, the political apparatus and the people you would have the feeling of serving the foreigners, and in fact it would act as a wild dog and a bloodthirsty wolf in the face of the people, and such a system, political system, would give in to the demands of foreigners. Reza Khan, that in the second decade of this century, in the second half of his monarchy, Reza Khan had acted with the people in a harsh manner and in a violent manner, and the people were intimidated, the children could not trust their parents, and the father could not trust his son. You see, in such a condition, when the Britons told Reza Khan to step down from power, Reza Khan cowardly stepped down from power. The same is true about Mohammad Reza Pahlavi. In the 40s and 50s, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi put tremendous pressure on freedom seekers and the people of Iran, and he acted in a harsh manner without any consideration or leniency towards the people. But you see, this very person acted humbly before the British and American ambassadors and listened to them. And he was, of course, unhappy about that, but he had no other choice. This becomes the ruling system in a country where there's no national dignity. The Islamic Revolution has granted the feeling of dignity to this nation. The late Imam was the manifestation of dignity. The day when Imam said that the U.S. can do no damn, and that was the day when the U.S. was a political and military power in the world. That day, on that day,
توجه کنید عزیزان من، احساس عزت.
In fact, the late Imam granted the feeling of dignity to this nation, and the Islamic Revolution granted the feeling of dignity to the people of Iran. Today, an Iranian is proud of being an Iranian, is proud of being a Muslim. Today, the major powers in the world have admitted that their threats are of no use in the face of the Iranian people, and their military power and political propaganda have no influence on the people of Iran, and the people of Iran will continue with all its might the path it has selected and will attain its objectives. What is important is the preservation of this national dignity. Oh, my brothers, sisters, dear people of Kurdistan and the great nation of Iran, this is something all of you must pay attention to. We should preserve this national dignity. National dignity is not merely preserved by words and slogans. Today, if the people of Iran are dear and have influence on global policies, the reason is faith the people of Iran have, and the reason is due to the Iranian people's innovation, unity, and solidarity. If you lose any one of these factors, our dignity will be threatened. If we lose our unity, if we lose our faith, if we actually lose our motives for hard work that is tangible among, if we lose such a motive for hard work, which and this motive exists among the young people, then we're gonna lose our dignity. This is a basic point for analyzing the political events, particularly for the youths. Those who want to sow discord among the Iranian people, who are these people? You should have no doubt that these are elements of the enemies. They are either within the enemy, the structure of the enemy, or they are just performing their missions for the enemies. If one seeks to target our unity on the pretext of Islamic sects, one who chants the slogan of disunity among Sunnis and Shiites is a mercenary of the enemy. There are individuals who are enemies, mercenaries, and they are unaware of it. Many of the miserable and unaware Salafi and Wahhabi people that are fed with petrodollars in order to go here and there and carry out terrorist operations in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, and in other parts and areas. Many of them do not know that they are the enemy's mercenaries. That Shiite man who insults the Sunnis, and he is also the mercenary of the enemy, even though he may be unaware of what he is doing. I'm telling you that such individuals are elements of the enemies, and some of them are unaware and they do not understand, both among Sunnis and Shiites. They do not understand what they are doing. They do not understand that they are working for the sake of the enemies. Several years ago, in the Kurdish region, an intellectual, a scholar, who delivered a speech at the Friday prayers, I think, as I remember, he swore to God that those who come to Shiites and just have the spite of Sunnis, imposed the spite, feeling of a spite on a Shiite towards Sunnis and vice versa. He said that they are neither Shiites nor Sunnis. They neither like Shiites nor Sunnis, and they are enemies of Islam. Of course, many of them do not understand, and this is a source of regret, that how come they do not understand. Today, you see the Wahhabis and Salafis consider Shiites as infidels. And the Sunnis who like Ahlul Bayt, the Prophet's household, are considered by them as infidels. So what is the source of such a wrong and erroneous way of thought? All the Shiites throughout the world and the Sunnis, the Shafi'is, Sunnis in North Africa, or the Maliki in Central Africa, that like the Prophet's household or Ahlul Bayt, and their Gnostic views lead to the Ahlul Bayt, they are considered as infidels. Why? Because they respect Hussein ibn Ali's tomb in Cairo, and they respect Rasul Hussein Mosque, and that is why they are considered as infidels. The Shiites are considered as infidels. The Saqqizi and Sanandaji and Marivani Sunnis, if they have relations with Qadiris, they are also considered as infidels. What way of thought is this? How come with such an ominous way of thought, why discord is sowed among Muslim brothers with such an ominous way of thought? That Shiite who, due to his negligence and ignorance, or even due to some biased approach, we know individuals among Shiites that do not merely suffer from their ignorance. They have a mission to actually insult the Sunnis in order to sow discord. I tell you that the attitude by both groups are religiously unlawful and haram and contrary to the law. Oh, the people of Iran, you have to attach significance to your unity, and this is a glorious unity, and you should attach significance to it. You should attach significance to your solidarity and cooperation, and also attach significance to the government accompanying the people, the government attaching significance to the people. This is something that we should consider, and the government attaches significance to people's faith, courage, and the hard work by the youths, and also the feeling of supporting the country, and make use of these forces. And the people, I cordially appreciate your loyalty and affection and kindness in this great gathering of yours, and this great gathering, and also your I wish to appreciate you for your warm welcome. And I hope that I pray to God Almighty to help me and you be successful in treading this great path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.